This morning's scripture reading will come from 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Again, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And the Bible reads, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world."
Good morning. Great to see everyone here this morning. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Right now we're in a series entitled ID. And this week I got out one of my old driver's license when I lived in Alabama, and I just started looking over my identification. Says that I'm born May 25th, 1976. Says that my full name is Slate Newman Moore. Gives my address when we lived in Somerdale, Alabama. Then it also shows that I can drive a motorcycle. Yeah, that's important. It also says that I'm male. That's obvious. It says that I'm over 6 foot. It says I'm 6'2", but I'm really about 6'1". I think I'm shrinking. And then it says that I have blue eyes, and this is my favorite part, and I have brown hair. And if you look at my picture, I was just as bald then as I am now. So I'm not sure if that's facial hair, eyebrows, maybe it's chest hair. I don't know. But it's also a pretty good picture of me. But anyway, you know, I started looking over that brown hair. You know, sometimes our identification doesn't match up to who we really are. In this series, we've been talking about our identification in Christ, how we are to be ambassadors for Christ. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. We are representing the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We also said last week that another piece of our identification is we're God's masterpiece. God created us with a plan and a purpose to do good. And in doing good, to bring Him glory. And that can be from telling people about Jesus or spending your time and money serving people. But we were given this purpose, and God planned that for us long ago. But maybe some of you are thinking this morning, well, Slate, you know, I know what my identification says, but unfortunately that's not me. And the reason that's not me is because, you know, I've got this giant in my life, I've got this obstacle. You know, maybe you're thinking, listen, I'm not those things. I'm addicted to drugs, or I'm addicted to alcohol. Or I'm not these things because, you know, my marriage, it's crumbling, it's falling apart. Or I can't overcome depression. Or I can't forgive like God wants me to. And I'm struggling with these giants. I'm struggling with these obstacles in becoming who God really wants me to be. Well, look at Romans chapter 8. We're going to start reading in verse 31, and this is just a powerful verse. I love this verse. The Apostle Paul asked this question. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? In other words, if God is by my side, then who can stop me from being who God wants me to be? And then he goes on in verse 32, and he says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us what? All things. And like we said last week, God has given us everything we need to fulfill our purpose, to be who He has called us to be. And then you go on to verse 35, and He asks another question. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Now, we can't exactly relate to all those things, but I guarantee you that some of those things you can relate to. I guarantee you that there is at least one person in this auditorium that is going through some sort of trouble or hardship right now. Maybe it's with your physical condition. Maybe you're going through a hardship financially. Maybe you're going through a hardship in your marriage. But I guarantee you, there's at least one, and there's probably many more of you that are struggling with something right now. He also talks about persecution. It may be that there are some of you at school or at work, and because you're trying to live right, you're trying to let your light shine, you're being opposed. You're being persecuted. Or he also mentions famine. Maybe you're, like I said, struggling financially to put food on the table. But, you know, you look at those things, and Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And then he goes on to say in verse 37, "No, in all these things that I just mentioned, in all these things we are more than conquerors." Through who? Through ourselves? No, he says, through Him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through the power of the risen Christ. You know that word conqueror there, and we're just going to go ahead and jump into our next ID. That's who we are in Christ. We are more than conquerors. But you know that word conqueror there comes from the Greek word nikeo, and that word means to win, to be victorious. Guess what? That's not the word that is used in this text. The word that is actually used in the Greek is hooper Nikeo. And that phrase or that term, hooper, means hyper or exceedingly more than. In other words, we're not just winners in Christ. We're not just victorious in Christ. We are more than that. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And when we know who we are, then we know what to do. We know how to live, and that's who we are. Now that phrase, hooper nikeo, it literally means to demolish the opposition. Not to squeak by, but to demolish. I mean, to completely wipe out. For example, a great example of this from the Old Testament would have to be the Egyptians. Remember, the Egyptian people were holding the Israelites in slavery for over 400 years. And then God raised up a man. We talked about this morning by the name of Moses. And through the power of God, Moses did all these miracles, brought about all these plagues upon the people, till finally Pharaoh says, "Take God's people and get them out of my land. I don't want them here." And so they take off, and then Pharaoh starts thinking, "Wait, there goes all my common laborers. I got to have them back." So he sends his army chasing after them. And the children of Israel come up on the Red Sea. And again, through the power of God, God divides the Red Sea. The children of Israel cross over on dry land. The Egyptians, they began to pursue. And God closes up the water and wipes them out. I mean, totally demolishes the army of Egypt. It's not like it was this close battle, you know, where the Israelites squeaked by. It was just, I mean, God wiped them out. Another great example is the Midianites, who the Bible refers to as being as numerous as the sand on the seashore. I mean, this massive army. And they are oppressing the people of Israel. And God goes to a man by the name of Gideon, and he says, "Listen, I want you to go up against the Midianites." And man, Gideon is shaking in his boots and he says, "I can't do that. I'm the least in my tribe. I mean, I'm the least within my family. God, I'm afraid. I can't do that." And God says, "Yes, you can. You are a mighty man of valor." He says, "You don't know it yet. You don't believe it yet." But he said, "You are." And Gideon starts thinking about it and he says, "God, we've only got 32,000 soldiers. Up against this massive Midianite army." And God says, "You know what, Gideon? You're absolutely right. That's way too much. I mean, if you wipe them out with 32,000, then people are going to give you and your soldiers credit. And he says, I'm the one that's going to get the glory. And so he says, start shaving, Gideon. Get rid of some of these soldiers. And he brings it down to 300 men. Are you getting this? 300 against this massive Midianite army. But through the power of God, with God leading the way, he goes into the Midianite encampment and God just totally annihilates the Midianites. Wipes them out. Wasn't even close. Totally demolishes them. Hooper Nikeo. And that's who you and I are in Jesus Christ. Now understand this morning, I'm not saying we're not going to have hard times in our life. In fact, if you look at John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, in this world, Jesus says, you're going to have trouble. Troubles are inevitable. Jesus says, it's going to happen. You're going to have hardships. You're going to have trying times. But he says, take heart, his disciples. He says, because I have overcome the world. You say, but Slate, I hear what you're saying, but you're talking about Gideon, you're talking about the apostles, you're talking about, you know, these mighty men of God. Moses. I'm just an ordinary Christian. I'm just a regular Christian. As I told you in the very first lesson, there's no such thing. If you're a Christian, listen, you are a spirit-filled conqueror. Look at Revelation chapter 12. And notice what it says. Verse 11. It's talking about how the Christians would overcome the forces of wickedness. And it says they overcame him, that's the devil or Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. Now that gives us some really good insight here, because what John is telling us here is we are more than conquerors through two things. First of all, through the blood of the Lamb. And some of you say, well, what does that mean? Blood of the Lamb. Well, Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God. And Roger did a beautiful job of presiding over the table this morning and talking about the blood of Jesus. You know, if you get into the Hebrew letter, you realize that God has always required blood. But the blood, he says, of bulls and goats and sheep, those things, they weren't good enough. They could not take away the people's sin. And so the Lamb of God came. Jesus Christ himself, and he came to this earth and he lived the perfect life without spot or blemish, and he shed his blood, and through the power of that blood, you and I, we can have forgiveness of sins. That's you. You are more than a conqueror through the blood of the Lamb, but also because of the words of our testimony. And some of you say, well, what's that? Well, our story of who God is and what he's done in our lives. Our testimony. Great example of this in the Old Testament would have to be David. If you remember, David was told by his father to take some food to his brothers who were out in the field, getting ready to fight the Philistines. And he gets there, and the children of Israel are absolutely shaking in their boots. They're scared to death because there's this huge giant that comes out every day. And he not only taunts Israel, but he taunts God. And he says, just send one guy, and the winner of that battle will basically own the other group. And everybody's just scared to death. And David's sitting there going, whoa, okay, nobody's going to do anything about this. Finally, he goes to the king, King Saul, and he says, hey, man, why is it somebody going out there and shutting this guy up? And you know what I think is really cool? As you get into the story of David and Goliath, one of the things you never see David do is sizing up the enemy. You never see or hear him use the word giant or big or huge. He never sizes Goliath up because he knows who's on his side. He knows who's standing with him because he looks at Saul, because Saul's sitting there going, David, dude, you're just a boy. He is a man. He has been a man since he was a boy. He is a beast, as we like to say it today. I mean, he's 9 foot. He is a killing machine. Do you understand, David? And David said, here's what I understand. There was a lion that came to take my sheep, and God delivered that lion into my hands, and I killed it. There was a bear that came down and tried to take my sheep, and God delivered that bear into my hands, and I killed it. And he said, let me tell you something, Saul, that giant Philistine out here, it's not going to be any different. God's going to give him into my hands, and I am going to kill him. So give me a stone and get out of my way. And that's what he does. He goes, and it's not even close. He uses one rock, hits him dead center, and then he goes and he takes Goliath's own sword and he cuts his head off, and then he starts pursuing the Philistines, and they totally wipe them out. Do you hear me? Hooper Nikeo, more than a conqueror, that's you. Paul says, in Jesus Christ. But let me say this. We've got to remember a few things to remain conquerors. First of all, we've got to remember to fight with the right attitude. You know, so oftentimes as Christians, we go into a fight with a giant, with an opponent, with an obstacle that's in our way, that's holding us back from being who God wants us to be, faithless, with doubt in our hearts. Man, there's no way that I could ever have a good marriage. There's no way that I could ever overcome this addiction. Man, there's no way that I could ever lose weight. There's no way that I could ever forgive this individual. And we go in with this faithless mindset. And as we see in James chapter 1, James says, listen, you've got to have faith. Don't come before God with doubt, because a man that doubts shouldn't expect to have his prayer answered the way he wants. And I think many times that's our mindset. We start sizing up. Man, this is a giant. This is too big. There's no way I will ever be able to overcome this, to be that ambassador, to represent God like I should. To really fulfill my purpose and my plan. And that's victim talk. Listen, if you are a Christian, you've got to remember you are not a victim in Christ. You're a victor. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. This is what we've got to do with those negative thoughts. And we've read this before, as we went through our series entitled Mind Games. But Paul says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God. We take what? We take captive every thought and we make it obedient to God. And that's what we've got to do as Christians. We can't go into this with this mindset of, I can't do it. This is impossible. No, we've got to program our minds. Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do what? All things. But do we believe that? Do you believe that? That's weak. Do you believe that? Yes, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The Bible also says that there is nothing what for God? Impossible for God. But so many times before we even go into fight, we've got this mindset that it is impossible. I can never be who God wants me to be. And so we just kind of hold back. I think David had the right attitude in Psalm 18, verse 29, where he says, God, in your strength, I can crush what? Any army. And then he goes on with, my God, I can scale any wall. In other words, there is no army, there is no wall that can keep me with God on my side from being who God wants me to be. But we got to believe it. Let me share with you a phrase that I've been guilty of using several times in my life, and I'm trying to do better. Maybe you've been guilty of it too. We'll see a giant or an obstacle or someone who's going through something that's just, you know, very difficult, and we'll look at them, and as Christians, we will utter these words, well, all we can do now is pray. All we can do now is pray. All we can do now is call upon the all-powerful God, is to call upon the all-knowing God. Does that sound ridiculous to anyone else? But yet, oftentimes, that's our response. Well, all I can do now is pray. No, we can pray. We can call upon, we can go before the throne of Almighty God, with whom nothing is impossible, who gives us the power and the strength to do all things. But we got to go in with the right attitude. Secondly, let me also mention this, we have to fight with the right weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 4 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." And the word power there, dunamis, in the Greek, is where we get our word dynamite. In other words, these weapons of God that you and I have from God, they have explosive power to defeat the enemy, to demolish. And you say, well, Slate, what are these weapons? Well, you look at Ephesians chapter 6, and Paul tells us, he says, listen, when you go into battle, here's some things you've got to arm yourself with. First of all, the helmet of salvation. You've got to protect your mind. You've got to know that you are saved in Jesus Christ. Don't let Satan put those doubts in your mind. Protect your mind and your heart. Also, he says, gird yourself with the belt of truth. Satan, his greatest weapon against us is deceitfulness. Do not let him lie to you. Also, you got to have on the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel. And then he talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is our ultimate weapon, which is the Word of God. He says, listen, these are your weapons. And he also, in that same list, mentions prayer. Greatest thing we can do is get down on our knees and pray and give it to God. But we got to arm ourselves with the right weapons to do battle against giants that we face in our lives. I want to go back in closing to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Darius did a great job of reading this. John writes, Dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in this world. As a Christian, the one who is in you is greater than the one in this world. You are more than a conqueror. And so don't sit there and fill yourself with doubt. You know, I'll never be able to overcome this temptation. I'll never be able to overcome, you know, this addiction. I'll never have a good marriage. I'll never be able to forgive. Yes, you can. Through the power of the risen Christ that lives in you. And when you really believe that, when you let that download into your mind, when you know who you are, it will affect what you do. And so this morning, we want to go ahead and extend the invitation. It may be that this morning you just need to come forward for prayers. As a Christian, for strength, to really believe who you are in Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're struggling with some sin, some addiction. Or it could be that maybe this morning you're ready to give your life to Jesus, to put Christ on in baptism, Galatians chapter 3, 26 through 27, having all your sins completely washed away, Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Whatever we can do for you, we'd love to assist you in any way spiritually as we can. Come and stand and sing.